Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
It's very nice to be here with you all this evening at Christie's house, Christie and Sally, and Terence, right?
Terence.
And Nivashni. That's right, yes. It's very nice to be here with you all. We were here last year also. Were we here the year before? Was it just unbelievable? Ah, so this is an annual program. Third annual, it seems, for me. And it's very nice to be here sharing it with you this evening. This is the month of Dhammadhar. I think most of you would be aware of that. This is very auspicious, very important, lunar month. Lunar month. We follow the lunar calendar. This is the calendar which people follow in India, except for business purposes. They all follow this lunar calendar. And you can always know what day it is. You just look at the moon. And then you see. At least you have an idea what stage the moon has reached in its going up and coming down and so on. It's not difficult. So this month then, which runs the lunar month from the 2nd, I think it was, of November, to the 31st, am I right? Is the last day of this month. So we have another 10 days to go. This is a very auspicious time. It's the month of Dhammadhar. It is dedicated to Krishna in this particular form. Krishna has so many forms, and each one has its own particular name, which is very appropriate in terms of the form or in terms of the pastimes that the Lord performs in that form. So this form, known as Dhammadhar, is a very special form. Dhamma means ropes, and Udara means the waist. So it means Krishna, who was tied with ropes around his waist. And that is the picture on the far end of the altar, just there on the table. Mother Yashoda is binding Krishna with ropes. Yes, so this is a very dear pastime. We were talking about this to some extent on Saturday at Arvind Prabhu's house. We were explaining there a little bit about the relationship between Mother Yashoda and Krishna, how even though Krishna is God, but still, even though he's the most powerful person, in Bhagavad Gita, the same Krishna, he revealed to Arjuna in the 11th chapter that he is not at all just an ordinary person. He's not even some sort of very special ordinary person, like a particularly powerful ordinary person. He's in a category of his own. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna revealed to Arjuna his universal form, how everything within the creation, all planetary systems, all species of life, all the living entities and everything, even time, past, present and future, it's all within Krishna. And that is just the least of it, really, that this material realm and all the phenomena within it are inside Krishna. That is just the least of it. Because Lord Krishna says there also in Bhagavad Gita that by a single fragment of myself, I am maintaining and sustaining the entire creation. Just by a tiny fragment of myself, Krishna says. So it was some part of that tiny fragment which Arjuna saw there in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. If you have read Bhagavad Gita, you would certainly be familiar with that. A very dramatic revelation to Arjuna. And very overwhelming experience that he had. Krishna showing how he pervades the entire universe. How it is all within him. But he says, this is just a tiny fragment of myself. So Krishna, he's not an ordinary person. He's not even, as we said, a special ordinary person, so to speak. Like we get some special leaders and heroes and so on in human society who are ordinary people, but they're more powerful than we are, perhaps. But no, Krishna's in another category altogether. But still, even though Krishna is that unlimited, supreme person, asamurdva means no one is equal to him and no one is greater than him. He is Ishvara Parama, Krishna, the supreme controller. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He has an eternal form made of bliss and knowledge. Anadir Adir Govinda. He has no beginning, but he is the beginning of everything. And Sarvakarana Karana. He is the cause of all causes. And he has no cause. This is Krishna. So even though Krishna is like that, still, Mother Yashoda, a devotee, she is not God. She is a devotee of God. Just as we are trying to be or trying to become devotees of God, so she is a devotee of God. She is not God. But still, somehow, she managed to make Krishna Damoda, to tie Krishna around the waist. And Krishna could not stop her, even though he's God. So how did that happen? How did she do that? Do you remember? Was it that she took special bodybuilding classes? Sometimes you see pictures of women. Have you seen that? Some ladies, they have done weightlifting and wrestling and bodybuilding. Have you seen that? And they look terrible. They look shocking, actually. But no, Mother Yashoda was not some sort of physical freak like that. Muscle-bound woman. No, you can see her picture there. She's a housewife. A very highly cultured and very refined lady of very high character. Looking after the palace of her husband, Nanda Maharaj. So how did she tie up God and control him? So that he couldn't do anything. How did she do that? That was through her love. Love is the most powerful thing, actually. Even though in this world, of course people talk about it sometimes, love makes the world go round. And there are different little sayings of that sort. But generally we see, on the material platform, It is not love which makes the world go round, but it is more like lust. Lust is making the world go around and around and around, and everyone is spinning dizzily under the influence of lust. That is a fact. Chasing so many things. I want this. I want that. Driven by their material desires. But love, real love is the most powerful thing. What do we mean by real love? We mean that selfless desire to please the beloved, regardless of what the cost may be to oneself, regardless of what difficulties one may encounter oneself as one is trying to please the beloved. Different challenges and obstacles may be there. And of course there's the famous story, classic story. I'm sure many of you have heard that story of when Krishna had a headache. And he told Narada Muni, only the dust from the lotus feet of some devotees can cure my headache. So Narada Muni went running, asking different devotees, explaining the situation and asking for dust from their feet. But the devotees were refusing. It's an offense if we take some dust from our feet, our dirty feet, which are in touch with the dirty ground. Our dirty feet, if we take some dust from them and put that dust on the sacred head of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, worshipable Lord, some of the dirt from our dirty feet, oh, that would be too bad. That would be a bad offense. So everyone was refusing, all the devotees. And Narada went back to Lord Krishna and said, you know, I'm so sorry, I can't do it. Can't get any dust. Everyone's too afraid of committing offenses and getting reactions. So Krishna asked Narada, did you ask the gopis? Did you go to Vrindavan and ask the gopis? And Narada Muni said, no, I didn't. So then Krishna sent him to try. And when he asked the gopis, such wonderful devotees, topmost devotees, he asked them for some dust from their feet and explained the situation. The gopis said, no problem. Take as much dust as you like. And then they were grabbing their own feet and scraping the dust off. More and more from every little spot, wherever they could find any dust in their feet. They scoured their feet till they got all the dust they could possibly get. So Narada Muni was quite surprised. And he thought to himself, well, they're just innocent little girls, village girls. So probably they don't know the intricacies of etiquette and so on and so forth, what to do and what not to do, what is socially acceptable and not socially acceptable. Probably that they don't know the laws of karma and how if your foot touches the head of some superior person, then you may go to hell for that offense. So he thought like that, and he said to the gopis that perhaps you don't know this, and then he explained. And the gopis said, no, we know that. We know that. But we don't mind going to hell if it pleases Krishna. If it helps Krishna, we don't mind going to hell. And we'll go to hell anytime. Then Narada realized, oh, these are very great devotees. These gopis They have pure love. That pure desire to please the beloved. Uncontaminated by any selfish consideration of any sort. Yes. So this is love. This is pure love. And Mother Yashoda, she also has this pure love. And it's so powerful that Krishna becomes overwhelmed and captured by that love. On Saturday, I began to read one verse, but I didn't get very far. So I thought that tonight we could read it again. Canto 9, chapter, chapter 9. Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna, text 21. Nayam sukapo bhagavan, deinam gobika sutta, gyaninam chatma bhutanam, yata bhakti matamiya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda. Neimam viricho na bhavo, na shirapyanga samshraya, prasadam levi re gopi, yatta prapas vimuktina. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who's always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a comparative study between Mother Yashoda and other devotees of the Lord, as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ekaleshvara Krishna Arasabhavritya. The only Supreme Master is Krishna, and all others are his servants. Krishna has the transcendental quality of Vritya Vashyata, becoming subordinate to his Vritya, or servant. Now, although everyone is Vritya, and although Krishna has the quality of becoming subordinate to his Vritya, the position of Mother Yashoda is the greatest. Lord Brahma is Vritya, a servant of Krishna, and he is Adi Kavi, the original creator of this universe. Tene Brahma Ridaya Adi Kavaye. Nonetheless, even he could not obtain such mercy as Mother Yashoda. As for Lord Shiva, he is the topmost Vaishnav, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. What to speak of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva? The goddess of fortune Lakshmi is the Lord's constant companion and service, since she always associates with his body. But even she could not get such mercy. Therefore Maharaj Parikshit was surprised, thinking, what did Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj do in their previous lives, by which they got such a great opportunity, the opportunity to be the affectionate father and mother of Krishna? In this verse there are three negative pronouncements. Na, na, na. When anything is uttered three times, do it, do it, do it. One should understand that this is meant to indicate great stress on a fact. In this verse we find, na lebi re, na lebi re, na lebi re. Yet Mother Yashoda is in the supermost exalted position. And thus Krishna has become completely subordinate to her. The word vimuktidas is also significant. There are different types of liberation, such as sayuja, salokya, sarupya, sarshti, and samipya. But vimukti means special mukti. When, after liberation, one is situated on the platform of prema bhakti, one is said to have achieved vimukti, special liberation. Therefore the word na is mentioned. That exalted platform of prema is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as prema pumarto mahan. And Mother Yashoda naturally acts in such an exalted position in loving affairs. She is therefore a Nitya Siddha devotee, an expansion of Krishna's Vladnisha potency, his potency to enjoy transcendental bliss through expansions who are special devotees. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratabhavata Ri. Such devotees are not sadhana siddha. So this is the point. Mother Yashoda got such great mercy. Unheard of. So much mercy, she was able to tie up Krishna, to tie up God, and he could not do anything. So how powerful do you have to be able to do that? Oh, that is inconceivable. So, because of her deep, deep love, then Krishna was overpowered and just became overwhelmed by the desire to be kind to her. Yes. If you recall the story, Mother Yashoda was trying to tie Krishna up. She got one piece of rope, but it was two fingers too short. So she thought that might as well just get another piece and then it should be all right. So she found another piece. Now she had double the length of rope. It was still two fingers too short. Eventually she got 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 pieces of rope. Maybe 20 meters of rope. Who is so big that 20 meters of rope will not go around them? And Krishna, he's just a little boy, 3 years old, very small. But it was two fingers too short. Eventually, she went to every house, in every village, in the whole Vraj Mandala, 168 square miles, and she got all the rope, perhaps a few kilometers of rope, and tied it together, put it around Krishna, and what happened? It was two fingers too short. She had not thought that, wait a minute, this is impossible. He's just a little boy, I've got so much rope, this can't be happening, something is wrong. She didn't even think that. Because of her loving mood towards Krishna, she was overlooking, naturally, spontaneously overlooking his superhuman nature and seeing him just as her little boy. So even though she had some kilometers of rope and it was two fingers too short, still she never thought that something is wrong. She just thought, gee, I better get some more rope. But there was no more rope. Then, as her loving mood, motherly mood, got stronger and stronger, Krishna became even more overwhelmed. And then he couldn't stop the rope being long enough. And then, what to speak of kilometers? Even a small piece of rope would have been enough. Even a tiny little piece would have been enough. Because he had surrendered to her. So our acharyas explain that these two fingers represent two very important things. You know what they are? One finger represents, yes, her sincere dedication and determination in love to serve Krishna as a mother by educating him and training him and chastising him even a little. So one finger is her great determination, loving determination. The other finger is the mercy of Krishna. When those two are there, then even a piece of rope 1 inch long will be enough to go around the whole world. When those two things are there. the devotee's determination and Krishna's mercy. Yes. So, now, Krishna, we might think that this is God, but he has assumed a little body, child's body. Actually, he is God, but now he is not appearing as God. He is appearing as a little child. In other words, he really is only this tall and this much around the waist. He really is only that size. Now, if that were the case, how come so much rope could not get around his body, if his body was really only that size? Well, then you could say, someone might suggest, perhaps it was a magical trick, a mystical trick on the part of Krishna, that even though he really is only that far around the middle, and even though there was so much rope, but by some magical trick, he made it so that rope was not long enough somehow. But the answer is no, that is not correct. This little form appears to be just 2 or 3 feet tall and just so big around the waist. This is not just form, some form expanded from the Lord like an actual child's form. That form of Krishna as Damodar in the picture being tied by Mother Yashoda, he is the supreme Samambhavanam, the supreme absolute truth. Even though he is within the universe, in the house of Mother Yashoda, in Vrindavan, but still, simultaneously, the universe is within him. Yes, with all the planets and all the rope on all the planets. So how much rope? Do you think there's enough rope to get around everything? I mean, in existence, all the universes and planets. Is there enough rope? No, there's not enough rope. That is all within everything. So how could it go around the outside of everything? So, therefore, all that rope was not enough to go around Krishna. Because he is actually that supreme, absolute truth, who everything, all planets and universes, and all living entities, and all of us, are within. So no amount of rope would have been enough. Yes. So this is very amazing pastime, very wonderful pastime of Krishna's, in which this point, that love is the most important thing. This point is illustrated so vividly, demonstrated so clearly. When Krishna was on this planet, there were many demons who wanted to control Krishna. Just like there was one demon named Pondraka, you might have heard of him. He was a rascal. He somehow, by the mercy of Lord Shiva, he had 4 arms. And he looked somewhat like Krishna. Not too much, but somewhat like Krishna. And he had many followers who would always praise him, saying that you were really Vishnu, not this Krishna. After all, you have 4 arms. Krishna only has 2. So you are really Lord Vishnu. But this rascal Krishna has stolen your 4 symbols. The conch, the club, the lotus, and the chakra. Yes, disc of Lord Vishnu. So Pondraka, being puffed up by the praise of his followers, he wrote to Krishna a letter saying, "You give me back my chakra." You give me back my lotus flower. You stole those things from me. You give them back. I'm the real Vishnu around here. So they met on the battlefield. And again, Pondraka. This time he shouted out to Krishna that you are just acting. You are not the real Vishnu. So you give me my chakra. You give me my disc. Now, quickly. So Krishna said, oh, you. And it cut his head off. Yes. So there were many people who challenged Krishna. They would have liked to have killed him, beaten him, tied him up also. Anything like that, they would have liked to have done. None of them could do it at all. They couldn't come anywhere near doing it. None of them could put up a good fight in front of Krishna. Just like you may have heard of the one washerman, Dobiwala, who Krishna met when he entered Mathura. He was the washerman of Kamsa, the king. And he was bringing back to the palace some freshly washed and ironed clothes of the king, King Kamsa. So Krishna and the cowherd boys, they just entered the city and they just bumped into this man. They saw these beautiful clothes. Very opulent, ornamented, fine clothes. So Krishna asked the washerman, he said, wouldn't you like to give some of those clothes to us cowherd boys? And the washerman, he got very puffed up, that who do you think you are? These are the king's clothes, so you get out. Now, unfortunately, Lord Krishna, he did not appreciate that. So, to express his displeasure, he slapped the man. Just an ordinary slap. What do they call it? Or what happened? But just an ordinary one. Not a big one with a run-up and something like that. Just he just turned around and went, like that. But he is Krishna. He is not just some ordinary person like us. So when he just nonchalantly just went slap, then that washerman, his head fell off. His head fell off. So don't do any experiments slapping people to see what happens. But you can't do that. You can't do that. But Krishna can do that. Yes. So Krishna, none of these people who tried to fight him and criticize him and tie him up and control him, none of them could succeed at all. They were all totally devastated. Completely finished. Just like that. Gone. But Mother Yashoda, she tied up Krishna. She tied him up. And he couldn't undo himself. He's God. He has everyone bound up by the laws of karma. Bound up by the modes of material nature. You know these modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance? You've heard of them? The Sanskrit term is guna. Guna literally means rope. Yes, these different forces of the material world, the force of desire, passion, the force of lethargy and laziness. So these forces, they are known as guna, as ropes. So one devotee prays to Krishna, actually prays to Mother Yashoda, that Krishna is so powerful, he has everyone tied up by the ropes of material nature. They cannot move an inch. They cannot just get up and do whatever they like. They're tied up by those gunas, those ropes, the forces of material nature. But Mother Yashoda is so powerful that she has Krishna tied up. And he can't do anything. He can't move. Only when she came back, she untied him. Nobody else could do that. So that is the power of love. That is the power of love. And we should try to develop this love. This is actually what Krishna consciousness is about. How to develop our love for God. That is the most wonderful thing. The most beautiful thing. Nothing can compare. So if we follow the process of Krishna consciousness, if we follow the process of devotional service, then that love which is dormant within our hearts, that love will slowly come out. Prabhupada said, just like when a child learns how to walk. We've all seen that. Some little child stands up for the first time. The parents are so happy. And what does the child do? Falls down again immediately. First time. But then gradually, the child can stand. And then take one step. And then two. And then after some time, the child can just walk. So that walking capacity is within every human being. It is not that some humans can walk, but others cannot walk. No. It is part of the human condition. So part of the living condition, the living condition of all living entities, in other words, is to love God. It is there. It just has to be brought out. That's all. It is not to be gained from an external source and put inside. No. It is simply to be brought out. So it is very natural. Just like walking is natural. So to love Krishna is natural. The most natural part of our being. And this month of Kartik, there's still 10 days left or so. This is a special month because in this month, Krishna, in this Damodar form, this form who was so merciful to Mother Yashoda, this very merciful form of Krishna is presiding this month. So, he's so merciful that if we just do some service, he'll give so much more benefit than usual. You do your usual service. You chant. Maybe you chant 16 rounds, as you do every day. So in this month, you also chant like that. But now you get 1,000 times the benefit because Krishna in this form is extra merciful, as he showed with Mother Yashoda. So he'll be extra merciful with you. So we should take advantage of this month and maximize our devotional service to maximize the benefits we get. Yes, your 16 rounds. Now it's like 16,000 rounds. Just see. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that now if you only chant, say, one or two beads, that now you've done 16 rounds and that's fine. No, not like that. But still it's the fact there's extra special benefit. Prabhupada said that it is something like when some gentleman owns a shop and he is selling different items every day, same items. But then sometime he decides, I think I'll have a sale. He doesn't have to. There's no law that at this time you must have a sale. Other times you're not allowed to have a sail. No, that is in his hands. He can have a sail or not have a sail, as he likes. So, Srila Prabhupada, so when he has a sail, then you can get the same thing for a fraction of the price. But it's the same thing. But much less you have to do to get it. So Srila Prabhupada said that Kautik means Krishna is having a sale. He's having a sale. Yes, you just do your regular devotional service, you'll get so much more benefit. So make the most of it. We say Dhammada Vrata. Kartik Vrata. Vrata means vow. That so many devotees, they take a special vow in this month. I will chant extra, read extra, do some extra service of some sort, something like that. In order to get more, even more of that extra specialness. So Mother Yashoda, she is leading the way and showing that if we really want to get the mercy, if we really want to become powerful and influential, we should develop our love for Krishna. Just do that. Just do that. And then everything will be at your fingertips by his mercy. Not because you've become very big and powerful, but because you have attracted his merciful glance. And when you do that, that's the perfection of life. So, this we can learn from this Dhammada Leela of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any comments or questions? So now we'll have Guru Puja to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.